Here we go. All right. Happy Wednesday morning. Praise the Lord for another time to laugh, another time to get together. I thank God for this morning. I really do. I love it. I appreciate it. And I love how the Lord continues to speak to us through many, many different ways. I definitely want to honor him for that. Let's pray and we'll go right into the word. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you will show us who you really are, that you will reveal yourself to us in whatever ways that you choose. I thank you that you want to speak to us, that you want to have relationship with us, that the God of all creation desires to speak and to listen to each one of us. God, this morning, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that we'll be able to hear exactly what you're saying to each one of us. I thank you that you can bring a word and it can apply in so many different ways to our lives. God, I thank you for healing that we've experienced. I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you for protection of our family and our friends. I thank you for the jobs that we have. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. This morning, we pray these things by faith. We love you and thank you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I definitely want to take just a moment. Last Friday, Chris is my brother. He's my younger brother, a couple years younger than me. And he had to have back surgery at the end of the day. I don't exactly know all the great details, but pretty much his vertebrae had busted through the backside and blah, 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 all this stuff. And man, he had back surgery Friday. And by Sunday, that young man was at church. And that says something to me. When we talk about the goodness of God, when we talk about God doing different things, to be honest, like I was nervous, worried in a sense, but just nervous because it's something none of us had ever experienced before. But I do want to honor God for his faithfulness. I always want to be so careful to tell God thank you for everything that he does for us, because I know a lot of times God does so much for us that some of it can get lost or we can forget to say thank you. But I know that the Lord wants us to acknowledge the things that he does. Yes, to show appreciation, but B, so other people can be encouraged in what God's doing for me, then I hope God does for you. And what God's doing for you, I hope God's doing for me and my family. And I think that's a mighty, mighty thing. So I do honor God for taking care of Chris and the speedy recovery. It's unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. Ever. I mean, is he walking a little slower? Absolutely. But man, I saw him yesterday and he was walking 10 times better than he was the day before. And I honor God for that. So in the book of Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. I know a lot of people that will hear this message didn't get to hear Brother Kevin talking about a dream he had last week, and I began to think about that dream that Brother Kevin had shared and pray into it and talk to God about it. And later on that night, I got to, I believe it was later on that night or the next morning, share with Brother Kevin what I thought that dream meant. And I love dreams. I love visions. I love anything that comes from the Lord. And I promise you, brothers and sisters, don't let anybody try to convince you that what God did back then, God does not want to do now. It doesn't matter to me if it's the gift of healing, if it's the gift of interpretation, if it's dreams, visions, whatever it is, the same God that did it back then is absolutely the same God today, and he desires to speak to us. He speaks to many of us in different ways because a lot of us are hard of hearing in certain areas of our life. A lot of us don't want to slow down, myself included, to be able to listen to the Lord, so he speaks through different ways. But I want to encourage you and let you know that I believe God is definitely nowadays speaking to us in dreams. And if you have a dream, you know, pray into it and say, God, I ask you to show me what it means and listen and talk to your people that you trust in the Lord and see if God will give somebody the interpretation. But what I want to talk about this morning, Daniel obviously was a great interpreter of dreams. But what I really want to focus on is what did Daniel do to be able to experience the goodness of God? What did Daniel do to be able to show others in his life how good God was? Ultimately, what did Daniel do? What steps did Daniel take so that God could anoint him, so that God could use him to bring about glory for him and him alone? In Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, this is, you have King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream. And the dream, he doesn't want to tell the wise men, the enchanters, the magicians. He's commanded them, he's brought them to himself. And he said, listen, I want you to give the interpretation of the dream. And the king says, and the people say back to him, the magicians, they say, listen, tell us what the dream is. And O king, we'll give you the interpretation. And the king said, no, not this time. The king did it a little different this time, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that for you because, and I'm paraphrasing, but ultimately you can make something up. You could use the details that I'm giving you to make it work for you so I don't take your life. This time you guys are going to tell me what I dreamed, and you're going to give the interpretation. The magicians, the enchanters were instantly terrified, and they made a request back to the king. They said, listen, king, never has this been done before. Only the gods, plural, little g, s on the end, only the gods could tell somebody that, and the gods don't dwell among us. And the king went back at him and said, listen, my word is firm. What I'm telling you is the way it's going to be. If you can't do it, I'll issue a decree to have all the wise men, the magicians, the enchanters killed, and I'll do it now. And the Bible goes on to say that they couldn't tell him. So the king issues a decree that everybody should, all the magicians and enchanters should be killed. And it was the king's wrath. And all of a sudden, Daniel hears about what's going on. And he says, hey, listen, hold up, before you do this decree, let me talk to my God. Let me pray to my God. Let me talk to the one that has the ability to accomplish these things. So in Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Verse 17, then Daniel went into his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. A lot of us know these three men as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were their slave names. These were their free names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, verse 18, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision, and so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. The first thing that I see that Daniel did so that he could save the lives of countless and countless hundreds of thousands of people so that he could make known that his God was exactly who he said he was, is Daniel was willing to ask for help. Daniel goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and says, listen, I need you to pray. I need you to ask God to extend mercy. I need your help with this matter, because if God don't intervene, there's going to be bloodshed. How many of us today know, do we know and do we practice that it's okay to ask for help? I believe one of the greatest lies the enemy will tell you and me is that we should be too prideful to ask for help. that others around us aren't struggling, that others around us aren't having different convictions, that others around us aren't tempted. And I promise you, that's the lie from the enemy. People around you, people around me, and us ourselves are facing adversities. We're facing shortcomings. We're facing trials and tribulations. We're going through some of the same things that others around us are going through. But some of us will fall to the trap of the enemy and not ask for help. This great man, Daniel, that God has already shown great favor to, he's placed him in the king, before the king. But Daniel says, listen, before I can do this thing that you're asking of me, I got to go back to my friends. I got to go back to my brothers in the Lord, so to speak. I got to go back to those that I know believe in the same God that I do. If Daniel was willing to ask for help, then I challenge us this morning that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to admit we're weak. The Bible tells us that in our weakness, God is made strong. It's okay to say, listen, I'm not as good at this, or I'm a little worried, or I'm a little scared, or I'm terrified, or listen, I keep falling short. These things are not a testimony or a testament of our weakness. I would argue that they're a testament of our strength. You see, when our kids come to us and say, Mom or Dad, I don't know how to, or Mom or Dad, I can't do this, or when one of the kids come to me and say, listen, Dad, can you open this jar? Well, they know that I'm pretty much the size of Popeye, the Sailor Man, and my forearms are huge, and I'll open whatever bottle it is, or I will absolutely kill myself almost trying to open that bottle to try to prove a point. But in seriousness, my kids understand that I have a strength they don't. Daniel understood that in this situation, perhaps his brothers, his people that he's doing life with, had a strength that maybe he didn't in this situation. So he was willing to ask for help, and he goes to him and says, listen, I need you guys to pray. And just for the sake of time, the Bible goes on to say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego begin to pray. And Daniel, the Bible says that it was revealed to him the mystery. Daniel goes on to bless the Lord and say, listen, God, it was you and you only that was able to reveal this mystery to me. You see, I believe some of our greatest victories in our life is on the other side of us admitting that we need help. I think some of the greatest breakthroughs that you and me will ever have in our lives is after we say, listen, I can't do it by myself, God. God, I'm not strong enough. God, I'm not smart enough. God, I feel like I've been used. God, I feel like I'm weak. God, I feel whatever it may be, if you're willing to ask the King of Kings for help, I promise you there's victory on the other side. The Bible says that Daniel not only asked for help, the second thing that I believe is important for you and me today is after we ask for help that we're willing to listen. You see, when Daniel asked these three his three friends for help, he was humble enough to ask, and he was also humble enough to listen. You ever had somebody ask you a question and you give them a good word, like a sound word, a word of wisdom, something maybe you've been through before, and they say right back to you, okay, yeah, and they do it the way that they wanted to do it. It was completely pointless for them to ask you that question, but they were just trying to get your permission to do this, that, and the third. I have it happen to me all the time, and I've done it many, many times in my life. You see, when we're serving God, it's not good enough to just say, okay, God, how do you do this? But we have to be willing to listen to the king. When I think about the king saying, listen, I'm not going to share my dream with you. I want you to tell me my dream and to give me the interpretation. One of the things that I personally take from that is that Daniel knew how to listen. I believe Daniel knew how to sit before the Lord. I know several weeks ago I had challenged us and said, listen, after you pray to God and talk to God, I challenge you to sit before the Lord. Talk to God about something and sit there and watch what your mind does. You'll think of things about shopping, going to the grocery store, whatever it may be. Why? Because it's hard to sit before the Lord if we don't practice it. But I promise you, don't let the enemy beat you up when you sit before the Lord and think all these random thoughts, because the next time it gets easier and the next time it gets easier and the next time it gets easier. You see, we are growing in our relationship with the Lord. And I believe Daniel had put in the practice just based off Daniel not wanting to eat. You know, it's where we get the Daniel fast, quote unquote. But it's where Daniel had learned that if God was going to be his God, then he would observe God. He would trust God. He would believe God. And I believe more than anything else, he would listen to God. So Daniel says, listen, King, let me talk to my people. Let me ask for help. And after I ask for help, I have to be willing to listen to the Lord. A lot of us, if we say, listen, I wish God revealed mysteries to me. I wish God spoke to me. I want to ask you, how much are you listening? Any time in my life, if I say, oh, I wish my wife talked to me more, the reason she may not talk to me a whole lot is because I talk to her too much. Maybe it's because I'm not willing to listen. But when I listen to my wife, to my friends, to my family, then I learn things about them. I get to know them better. So in next time, in the next situation that comes, the next difficult situation that comes, I approach it a little differently because I've listened. You see, God had brought about miracles in Daniel's life already, but in this situation, Daniel had to listen in the face of adversity. He had to listen when his life was literally on the line. Because Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going under for this too. They were going to die. They were going to be part of all the people that died. But because they were willing to ask the Lord for help and listen to the Lord for help, the third thing that I believe Daniel was willing to do was Daniel was willing to speak to the king. You see, I believe a lot of us, we listen to the Lord and we hear things from the Lord and we're willing to do these things. And when God gives us something powerful to tell somebody, we hold it in. We get too nervous. We get scared. What if this is wrong? What if God holds me accountable for delivering a word that's wrong? What if? And I challenge you this morning that every time God gives me a word to speak, even this morning and this morning for sure, my heart races. I'm nervous. I'm a little anxious before I speak to you about something God's sharing with me. And that is absolutely okay. Don't allow the enemy to condemn you for being scared or not as confident as you want to be. Because I know many of us can testify that every time we share something with somebody that we believe God told us to, there has been absolutely nothing but victory, and there's been absolutely nothing but glory and honor for God. It may not have went exactly like you wanted it to, because I know, Lord knows, sometimes I tell people stuff that I believe God's shown me and it doesn't go exactly like I think it should. They don't receive it like I want them to, but immediately after, I have a peace that comes on the inside of me that I know I did what I was supposed to. I believe I get a thumbs up from Papa. I believe the Father's pleased in spite of me being scared or nervous. I still tried my best to do what he said. Because Lord knows there's been times that I let the word go and didn't deliver it. And I have to wrestle with it for days. But Daniel was willing to speak, and ultimately Daniel goes in before the king. And he says, listen, King, this is the dream. This is the interpretation. And the Bible says immediately the king falls down and pays honor to Daniel and to Daniel's God. The king makes a decree that anybody that serves any other god besides Daniel, their bodies should be pulled apart, their house should be leveled. The king makes a decree saying, listen, only the God of all gods, only the King of all kings has the ability to do what Daniel just showed me. In closing this morning, I challenge us to ask for help, to listen, and to be willing to speak. But my last point is something that the Lord showed me this morning. A couple chapters over, we have the very, very famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting thrown into the fiery furnace because they chose not to bow down to the the golden image. The Bible says that they were thrown in, and the people that threw them in died because the furnace was heated seven times hotter. It's a powerful story. And the king looks in and says, listen, didn't we just throw in three? But now there's four, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. I've read that story. I've preached that story so many times. But this morning, as I was talking to the Lord, God asked me a very specific question. And he said, where was Daniel? And I began to talk to God, and I'm like, what do you mean, where was Daniel? So I go back to the Bible, and the Bible says that after Daniel gave the interpretation, that Daniel was kept in the king's court. And Daniel asked for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be appointed to the province of Babylon. In other words, to be put in charge of it, to hold high honor there. So I believe this morning, brothers and sisters, that Daniel asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for prayer. As soon as he asked them for prayer, he sat before the Lord and he listened. And then he spoke to the king and brought about a great victory for God, for the people of God, for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the fourth thing that I believe Daniel did was I believe Daniel prayed. You see, the king made the decree that anybody that doesn't bow down to this golden image has to be killed, has to be thrown into the fiery furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not in the king's court. They were outside the king's court. In other words, they were outside of the king's presence. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the same people that's asking you for help, the same people that's asking you to pray, there will be times in their life where they need you to pray. You see, I believe Daniel, by the revelation of the Lord, I believe Daniel was praying for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into that fire, just like I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was praying for Daniel when his life hung in the balance. You see, God will use the same situation that you're in, and next thing you know, your brother or your sister will be in that situation, and you'll be praying for their victory. That's why we should pray for one another. That's why we should not hold somebody's offense over them. That's why we should forgive others, because we need to be forgiven. That's why we should learn to listen, because we need people to listen to us. That's why we should speak, because we need others to speak to us. You see, I believe God flipped it. I believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were one of the main reasons that Daniel got the revelation of what the dream meant, and that is what brought about the victory. But on the flip side of that, I believe when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, life hung in the balance, I believe it was Daniel that was praying for them. You see, Daniel needed the prayers at first, but then the second time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed the prayers. We have to stop putting people on pedestals in the sense that we think they'll never need us, or they're never going to go through, or they never need a breakthrough, or they never have troubles, or they don't have financial problems like I do. Because I promise you this morning, if you will pray for them, then on the flip side of things, they will pray for you. It's the greatest exchange I've ever seen in the Bible, that when they needed help, Daniel was there praying. And Daniel was only able to pray because he was in the presence of the king. You see, God's waiting on you and me to get into the presence of him so that we can make a difference in people's lives. The king is inviting us into his presence, saying, listen, I need you to listen to me. I need you to pray. I need you to speak. And above all, I need you to believe. One of the greatest things anybody has ever, the greatest word anybody's ever shared with me, I call him Elder years ago. He's a guy I know down in the room. Just, man, revelation after revelation. But one day we were praying and talking, and he said, Alan, he said, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it's years ago. And one of the reasons it's so important to me is that nobody can figure out a mystery unless it's revealed. And in the kingdom of God, the only way the mystery can be revealed is if the king shares it. It's if God himself opens up things to my understanding. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you'll be like Daniel, if I'll be like Daniel and I'll ask for help and I'll listen and I'll speak, and when the time comes, I'll pray for others that were in the position that I used to be in, that are in the position that I'm in now, whatever it may be, if I'm willing to pray because I'm in the king's presence, then things have to change. Things have to manifest. Breakthroughs have to happen. You see, when you're in the king's presence, you don't have to worry about food or financial things because the king has it all. You don't have to worry about sickness or sorrows because the king has it all. This morning, I believe God is calling us into his presence. And he's saying, listen, just ask. Just listen. Just speak. And when the time comes, just pray. Let's go to the Lord. God, I honor you. I thank you this morning that we can be like Daniel. We can ask for help. We can listen. We can speak. But God, maybe more than anything, God, that you give us the ability to pray in your presence. I thank you that you are a great king. I thank you this morning that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and your desire is for us to get into your presence, because I believe if we get close to you, it fixes everything. Any sin, any doubt, any worry, anything we're going through, God, I believe that if we get close enough to you, it has to fall off. It has to fall away. Because you said in your presence is the fullness of joy, the absolute fullness. So this morning, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I thank you, God, that we're willing to pray and ask for help and listen and speak. But God, maybe more than anything, I pray this morning that you will show us how much you love us. I pray that you will show us your goodness. I pray that you will show us your never-ending love, your agape love. I pray that you will show us that you are Abba. I pray that you will show us that you are the good, good Father. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I continue to pray for their safety. I continue to pray for their families and friends and even enemies, Lord. I pray that you'll continue to bless the businesses that we represent. Continue, God, to let us focus on you. I know everything's going on right now, God, with the different people voting and all that stuff, God. And that's all good and well. And I pray that you put the president that you want to be in there, God. But you are our king. God, you hold it all together. It's you and you alone that decide things in our lives. And I thank you for that kind of peace. We pray these things by faith in you, believing that you are exactly who you say, that you're good all by yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.